You know, there are warnings in Scripture that should make every sober-minded hearer stop and examine themselves. One of those warnings is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through about 15. In that passage, God does not merely speak of error, confusion, or ignorance. He speaks of something far more serious. A condition in which people become so opposed to truth that God allows them to believe a lie. Notice the passage. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That's a frightening thought. Not because God is unjust, but because it reveals how dangerous it is to resist God's word. The passage teaches that this condition does not begin with God forcing innocent people into error. It begins with men refusing what God has graciously provided. They receive not the love of the truth. They did not merely fail to understand it. They did not love it. They did not welcome it. They did not hold to it. And so this lesson asks a very practical question. In what ways can a person receive a strong delusion from God to the extent that one believes a lie? Just as importantly, what warnings and applications should we draw from this text for our own hearts? As we walk through this lesson, we will see four great biblical truths. Delusion begins when truth is refused. God's judgments often involve giving men over to the blindness that they themselves choose. A lie becomes believable when the heart prefers sin over righteousness. And safety is found in loving, receiving, and continuing in the truth of God. Before we can understand the strong delusion itself, we must first understand where it begins, the root of delusion, refusing the love of the truth. Paul does not leave the cause uncertain. He tells us plainly that these people perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Delusion begins not with lack of access to truth, but with rejection of truth. To see this clearly, let's first notice that the problem is not simply what men know, but what they love. The heart problem, not receiving the love of the truth. Paul identifies the root cause of spiritual ruin. These people were exposed to truth, but they did not receive it with love. He said, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. Deceivableness means that which misleads, cheats, or leads astray. Receive not means they refused it. They did not welcome it. Love of the truth means not mere awareness of truth, but a heart that values, embraces, and submits to it. Paul does not say they lacked intelligence. He says they lacked love for truth. Jesus explained that truth brings freedom only to those who continue in it. He said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:31 and 32. Continue means remain, stay, abide. Truth is not helping a person who hears it one day and abandons it the next. Freedom belongs to the one who remains in the Lord's Word. Jesus also shows that some reject light because it exposes what they do. He said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." That's John 3:19-20. Light means truth from God. Reproved means exposed, corrected, brought to light. Some do not reject truth because it is unclear, but because it is too clear. A man may claim he wants directions, but if he throws away the map every time it points him where he does not want to go, his problem is not confusion, his problem is rebellion. In the same way, the heart that does not love truth would eventually prefer any lie that allows his heart to stay comfortable. And once truth is resisted, the heart does not remain unchanged. Repeated resistance hardens the heart. Scripture warns that sin deceives, and repeated yielding to it hardens the heart. The Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews 3:12-13. Evil heart of unbelief means a heart unwilling to trust and obey God. Hardened means made stubborn, resistant, unresponsive. Sin does not merely stain, it hardens. Paul described what happens when a conscience is repeatedly violated. He said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." 1 Peter 4:1-2. Giving heed means paying attention to, listening to. Seared means burned over, made insensitive. A conscience can become less responsive the more it is ignored. The wise man warns of the danger of repeated refusal of spiritual correction. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Proverbs 29:1. Hardeneth his neck means stubbornly refuses correction. Persistent rejection is not harmless. It leads somewhere. Think of a callus on the hand. It forms by repeated pressure. Over time, the skin loses sensitivity. So it is with the heart. Every refusal of truth makes the next refusal that much easier. Now let's see that this refusal of truth is not only a New Testament warning. The same principle appears throughout the Scriptures. Refusing God's word has always led to blindness. Pharaoh is one of the clearest Old Testament examples. Again and again, he resisted the word of God. The Bible says, "When Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkeneth not unto them, as the Lord had said." Exodus 8:15. Hardened his heart means made himself stubborn. Hearkeneth not means refused to listen. Pharaoh was not lacking evidence. He was resisting the evidence. Later, Scripture also says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Both are true. Pharaoh hardened himself, and God confirmed him in judgment. The Bible says, "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses," Exodus 9:12. This is judicial hardening. God gave Pharaoh over in judgment after Pharaoh had repeatedly resisted God's word. Isaiah was told that many would hear the message, but remain spiritually dull. God instructed Isaiah, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes," Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. Ears heavy means dull, unwilling to hear. Shut their eyes means spiritually unresponsive. This does not picture innocent people being mistreated. It pictures a people so resistant that God's judgment takes the form of continued blindness. The root of delusion is not weakness of intellect, but refusal of truth. Men do not suddenly fall into strong delusion without a cause. The process begins when they do not receive the love of the truth, when they resist correction, and when their hearts become hardened through sin. Once that root is established, the next question is this: what does God do with those who stubbornly resist Him? The pattern of judgment. God gives men over to blindness. The strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 fits a broader biblical pattern. God's judgments often involve giving men over to the path they have chosen. Let's first notice this pattern in straightforward language from the New Testament. God gives men over when they reject Him. Romans chapter 1 shows what happens when men knowingly reject God and exchange truth for error. Paul wrote, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator." Romans 1, 24 and 25. Gave them up means handed them over, allowed them to go their chosen way. Changed the truth of God into a lie means exchanged divine truth for falsehood. This is not God approving sin. It is God judging men by letting them have what they insist on having. Three verses later, Paul continues stating, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind," Romans 1 and verse 28. Did not like to retain means refuse to keep. Reprobate mind means a mind that fails the test, morally and spiritually unsound. When men refuse God in the mind itself becomes corrupted. If a man insists on sailing away from the lighthouse, the judgment may be that he is allowed to continue until the rocks prove what he refused to see or believe. That same pattern helps us understand the strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The strong delusion comes after truth is rejected. Now we return to the text of the lesson from Paul's inspired words, which again reads, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in righteousness." 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. "For this cause" means because of what came before. Strong delusion means powerful deception, effective error. "Believe not the truth" means refuse faith in what God revealed. Pleasure in unrighteousness means delight in that which is sinful. The delusion is judicial. It comes for this cause, not without cause. The passage itself gives the moral reason for the judgment, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. God's saving truth was available, but they did not receive it. This makes the judgment righteous. Even in the Old Testament, God warned that falsehood would expose hearts that would not love Him. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, saying, "Let us go after other gods," thou shalt not hearken. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart. Deuteronomy 13:1-3. Proveth you means test you. False teaching reveals whether the heart truly loves God. A counterfeit bill exposes the careless eye. False doctrine exposes the careless heart. Error has a way of revealing who really loves the Lord and who only wants religion on their own terms. This pattern of judicial blindness is seen again in the days of Christ. Those who refuse light are left in darkness. John explains why many in Israel did not believe even after seeing the works of Christ. He said, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart." John 12:37-40. The language reflects judicial blindness. After repeated refusal, God's judgment leaves them in the darkness they chose. Jesus taught the same principle in simpler terms. He said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Matthew 13:14-15. Wax gross means become dull, thick, insensitive, dull of hearing. They have closed means they themselves shut their eyes. Again, men first close their eyes and then judgment follows. There is a difference between not seeing and refusing to see. The first may be weakness, the second becomes guilt. God's judgment often takes the form of giving men over. Pharaoh, Israel, and the Gentile world in Romans chapter 1, and the unbelieving in 2 Thessalonians 2, all show the same pattern. When men refuse God's truth, God may confirm them in the blindness they have chosen. But this raises another very sobering concern: the power of the lie. How error becomes believable. Lies gain power when the heart is prepared to receive them. Falsehood becomes attractive when it serves pride, lust, fear, convenience, or self-will. Let's now consider the simple fact that many lies are welcomed because a lie is easy to believe when it protects sin. Paul said these people had pleasure in unrighteousness, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:12. Pleasure means delight, satisfaction. Unrighteousness means that which is contrary to God's word. A lie becomes attractive when it permits what truth condemns. Isaiah warned of a people who reversed moral categories. He said, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Delusion is deep when a man no longer merely does evil, but relabels evil as good. Some in Jeremiah's day wanted a message that would not trouble them. The Bible says the prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. Jeremiah 5:31. This is a searching statement. False teachers were guilty, but the people were guilty too, because they loved the falsehood. The heart often chooses a lie the way a thief chooses darkness. It is not because darkness is better than light, but because darkness hides what one wants to keep on doing. And when people want soothing words more than sound doctrine, they become easy prey for error. Men often believe lies they want to hear. Paul warned that some will not endure sound doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. 2 Timothy 4, 3-4. Sound doctrine means healthy teaching. Itching ears means wanting to hear what pleases rather than what is true. Fable means myths, stories, false narratives. The lie gains strength when hearers start shopping for teachers who will support their desires. The prophet described those who wanted smooth words. He said, "This is a rebellious people, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things." Isaiah 30, 9 and 10. Smooth things means pleasing words, easy messages, untroubling speech. People under delusion often do not want less religion. They want religion without rebuke. The Lord condemned worship. They replaced His word with human teaching. He said, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Matthew 15, 8 and 9. A lie becomes believable when man's ideas are treated as if they were God's word. A doctor who changes the diagnosis to please the patient is not merciful, he is dangerous. So are teachers who soothe souls while hiding the truth that could save them. There are also very practical, memorable ways that this warning applies to daily life. Real life applications of the strong delusion. The scriptures command self-examination, because deception can be personal. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves means test yourself honestly with the standard of God's word. Delusion is not only out there, it can begin in each of us if we stop testing ourselves by Scripture. James warns against hearing without doing. He said, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." James 1:22. A man may deceive himself without inventing a new doctrine at all. He may simply hear the truth and fail to obey it. The Proverbs warn against trusting our own judgment above God's wisdom. There is a way that is a singular way, which seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death, that is, multiple ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. What seems right is not always right. Feelings are not a safe guide. A man can receive a strong delusion when he says, "I know what the Bible says, but." A person can begin believing a lie when he chooses family tradition over plain scripture. One may drift into delusion when emotion becomes the test of truth instead of the Word of God. A hearer may begin believing a lie when he only listens to sermons or teachers that never challenge them. Someone may deceive himself by calling partial obedience faithfulness. One may believe a lie when he assumes sincerity is enough, even though God requires truth. A Christian may start down this path when he stops loving spiritual correction. These are not small matters. Delusion often begins in ordinary habits of resisting truth. The lie becomes believable when it serves sin, flatters the hearer, avoids correction, or appeals to human wisdom instead of divine revelation. We must not only ask, "Is that teacher false?" but also, "Is my own heart wanting something other than truth?" After such a serious warning, it is a comfort to know that scriptures also show the path of safety, how to remain grounded in the truth. Paul does not leave faithful believers in fear. He points them to the remedy: sanctification, belief of the truth, steadfastness, and love for what God has spoken. Let's begin where safety always begins. Receive the word with humility and readiness. James shows the spirit or attitude with which the word must be received. He said, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." James 1:21. Meekness means humble teachability. Engrafted word means the implanted word of God. A proud heart is vulnerable to delusion. A meek heart is teachable. The Bereans provide a noble example of how truth should be received. The Bible says these were more noble in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things are so. Acts 17:11. Readiness of mind means eagerness to hear. Search the scripture means testing teaching by God's word. Safety lies in hearing gladly and testing carefully. The psalmist shows the heart that treasures truth. He said, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Psalms 119 and verse 97. Love for the truth is not occasional interest. It is settled affection. A tree with deep roots is not easily blown over. In the same way, the soul that loves and searches the word is not easily swept away by every new error. But receiving truth is not enough unless we also continue in it. Stand fast in the truth once you have learned it. Paul's immediate counsel to the Thessalonians is to stand firm. He said, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught." 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 15. Stand fast means remain firm. Do not move away. Hold means keep a firm grip on. Tradition here means apostolic teaching, handed down by inspiration, not human customs. The answer to strong delusion is strong steadfastness. Jesus connected true discipleship with abiding in his word. He said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." John 8:31. Continuance proves discipleship. Paul warns against spiritual instability. He said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, Ephesians 4 and verse 14. Spiritual immaturity is easily moved. Mature believers must be grounded. A ship that is not anchored may drift without noticing it. Likewise, a soul that is not firmly anchored in Scripture may drift into error slowly, quietly, and fatally. Finally, we must remember that protection from delusion is not merely intellectual. It is moral and spiritual. Love righteousness, not just right ideas. The contrast in 2 Thessalonians is striking. Some had pleasure in unrighteousness, but to save are sanctified through the truth. The Bible says, "God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth," 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Sanctification means being set apart unto God. Belief of the truth means trusting and submitting to what God has revealed. Truth is not just to be discussed, it is to sanctify. Jesus prayed that his disciples would be sanctified through truth. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth," John 17:17. The word of God is not just informative, it is transformative. The psalmist again shows the moral shape of a truth-loving life. "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Psalms 119:104. To love truth is to hate falsehood and every path opposed to God. A man is safest from lies when his heart truly wants to be holy. The more a person loves righteousness, the less appealing lies become. The path of safety is plain. Receive the word humbly. Search the scriptures carefully. Stand fast in God's truth and love righteousness. The surest protection from believing a lie is to love the truth enough to obey it. Having considered both the warning and the remedy, let's now consider or gather the lesson into a few final thoughts. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 13 teaches one of the most sobering truths in all of the Bible. Men can reach a point where, because they refuse the love of the truth, God allows them to be given over to the delusion they have chosen. This does not happen randomly, and it does not happen unjustly. It begins when truth is resisted, correction is refused, and sin is loved and embraced. And lies are welcomed because they serve the desires of the heart. Safety is found in a meek, scripture-searching, obedient, truth-loving heart. Let us therefore ask ourselves, do I love truth even when it corrects me? Do I search the scriptures, or do I just assume I'm right? Do I want the truth, or only the version of truth that does not trouble me? And am I standing fast or slowly drifting? A lie is never harmless, and biblical truth is never optional. So then let us not resist the truth. Let us receive it obey it, and be saved by it. It's the Lord who invites, and we await to assist. Won't you come while together we stand and sing?
Number 856. Let's sing first, second, and last of 856. There's a fountain free just for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to its spring. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he lives us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain.